1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is God, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for this portion of Scripture, Lord. I pray that you'll help us, Lord, as a church, Lord, to be better equipped because of the Bible study tonight, of each family to be better equipped, Lord, as we seek to raise our young people to serve you. We praise these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to teach on this subject the next two Wednesday nights, how to raise a generation to serve the Lord. How to raise a generation to serve the Lord. I got a phone call. Well, no. I returned a phone call. Lady had left a message. She was inquiring about our Christian school. That happens on a regular basis. A lot of times, you know, it can be anything. It could be for any reason. We get a lot of those calls coming into the office. And they're inquiring about our Christian school. Sometimes, honestly, with no real understanding of what a Christian school is, especially the type of school we have, what it is. You know, my kid got kicked out, of the public school, so we want to put him in your school. Or, you know, I don't want my kid wearing face masks anymore, so can we put him in your school, you know, or whatever it is. Well, if you're going to put someone in Blessed Hope Baptist School, you need to have better reasons for it than that. But I never know who's calling, and so I called this lady back, and I said she was inquiring about the school, whether or not we were a closed school, which means membership only, or whether we allow people from the outside. And again, I don't know anything about her. And I said, well, would you just listen to me for about 3 minutes? And after about 3 minutes, if you have any more specific questions, still interested, then give me, we'll set up an appointment or we'll talk. But I said, let me just cover a couple things. And I said, by the way, I don't know you. And so you know that nothing I'm going to say is personal. I hope that we're friends now. We'll be friends whether or not you send your kids or not. But I said, this is not just a Christian school. This is a Baptist school. And you know what? We integrate Baptist doctrine, which I believe Baptist doctrine is Bible doctrine. And any place where Baptist doctrine isn't Bible doctrine, I'll choose Bible doctrine over anybody's so-called Baptist doctrine, okay? Because the Bible defines the doctrine that we're supposed to have. But I said, this is a Baptist school, and so I said, we only accept people from independent Baptist churches, like faith, like practice. And I said, I don't know where you attend church, whether you attend church, but you need to know that. And I said, our Christian school, the primary goal of our Christian school, not the number one goal of our Christian school is not education. I said, the number one goal is for us to raise up a generation of young people that want to serve the Lord. That want to give their lives wholly to serving God, that are dedicated. And I said, because of that, we want families who want that for their kids and who are living that out in their life. We want them to be the ones that choose this school. And I said, I don't know if you attend church or not. I don't know how faithful you are. But I said, if you aren't faithful to church, this wouldn't be the school for you. If you're not Baptistic in doctrine, this wouldn't be the school for you. And I said, you know, if you are looking for a high education, they're going to get an above average education. I can safely say that. But I said, again, that's not our primary goal. Listen again, my primary goal is to raise young people that have a heart that want to serve God. And you know what? The reason that that's the goal of, let me remind you, of that ministry of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, because the Christian school is a ministry of our church, the same thing way the bus ministry is a ministry of our church, and the Sunday school is a ministry of our church. Our school is a ministry of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And you know why we have that goal there? Because we have that goal here. You know why we had that goal there? Because we have that goal in the bus ministry and in the Sunday school and everything else. All that we're doing is trying to win people to Christ and then disciple them to a level where they will want to spend their lives serving God in whatever he calls them to do, whatever capacity that is the will of God for their life. Now, I say that because it's good for the preacher to get up and say that every once in a while. I say that because it's good for the congregation to hear it every once in a while. We're not changing the goals around here. Okay, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And you know what? You can make $1 trillion while you're here on earth. And you know what? If you have nothing to lay at the feet of Jesus and you've only served yourself, you know, then that's going to be a pretty sorry moment at the judgment seat for you. And so that's what we do. This is why we exist. This is why we're here. See people saved and then try to disciple the next generation to continue to serve the Lord. And so I want to talk to you about that, because as parents, that needs to be your primary goal. That needs to be your primary goal for your children, is that they would grow up and serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all of their life, okay? And so that if that's the goal, then there's some things that we need to checklist, some things we need to be aware of, some things we need to learn from the Bible that will better equip us to be able to succeed at that goal. So I'm going to talk to you about that for a little while tonight, and then I'm going to continue it, Lord willing, next Wednesday night. I started this portion of Scripture because I think it's a very encouraging portion of Scripture. You know what? I think sometimes we end up having a humanistic kind of worldly view of who is going to succeed and who's not going to succeed. You know, if you go to the school, public school arena, you know, they're looking for the beauty queens. They're looking for Mr. Athlete. They're looking for the academics guy. They're looking for, you know, and they say those are the ones that's going to really succeed in life, you know. And God has a tendency to choose the most unlikely people. And that's what the portion of Scripture tells us is, you know what, don't discount the young people around here who you may think may not be the ones that grow up and do something amazing for the Lord. Because sometimes God has a tendency to choose the most unlikely people. Maybe the ones that we wouldn't have chosen, we wouldn't have picked as the ones that God would call into the ministry or call to preach or use in some other way. You know what? God says, I'm going to reread some of this. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Why would he choose that crowd? That no flesh should glory in his presence. You know what? A lot of times he'll pick some second tier, third tier, at least from the world's vantage point, people, because he knows he's going to get glory for it. He's going to get all the glory. If they do something great for the Lord, he's going to get all the glory for it. And so I wanted to encourage you that as we raise our young people to serve the Lord, and of course I will talk a little bit about some that might be called into full-time service, but not every young person will be called to preach, called to be a missionary, called to be an evangelist, you know, serve the Lord on a full-time basis. Those that do not and are not called to that still are full-time Christians and still have places of service and ought to be serving God and doing some things for the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will take you. You say, preacher, I don't have much. Well, then just give it to God. I know a little boy that didn't have much in his lunchbox, but he gave it to Jesus. And Jesus took what was there because he gave everything. He took what was there and fed 5,000 men, not including women and children. So it doesn't matter how much you have. Would you give it to God? Would you just give it to Jesus? You know, preacher, man, I wish I was an A student. I work at it. I try. I think I try as hard or as harder as the straight A students. But, you know, and I'm more kind of a straight C-plus kind of a guy, you know. And hey, just give it to Jesus. I mean, you know, he made you. He knows who you are. He knows who you are. It's interesting because some young people have these strengths and maybe these weaknesses. Another young person have these strengths and these weaknesses. And you know what? Whatever God's made you and however he's made you, just give it to him. Just give it to him. And so we see this encouraging portion of Scripture because God is willing to use anyone who will offer themselves to Him. Now I'm going to have you go over to Matthew chapter 16 tonight. Matthew chapter 16. I want to take a few minutes there. And then one other portion of Scripture where we'll spend the bulk of our time tonight. But in Matthew chapter 16, I want to begin to show us that there are some things that we can do as a church. And of course, parents in your own homes that will help you to raise young people who can be used of God. And God can use for His service. Well, we read in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 24, if you'll read there, Matthew 16 and verse number 24. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me." And then this companion verse, "For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it." And then the verse I just quoted some. "For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now, there's three things that are listed in verse number 24 that we, both as parents, as grandparents, and also as a church, this is great for all of the ministries of our church. We have Sunday school teachers in our that are here tonight. We have children's church workers and primary church workers and those that work in our Christian school. And I mean, all of these folks have influence on the young people here. And so I want you to think about these three very necessary marks of a disciple or qualifications of a disciple. Jesus said unto His disciples, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me." Now, one of the lists that we need to pay attention to is this. If our young people are going to grow up and they are going to be qualified to be future disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, let me stop. There's a difference between being saved and being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to be saved in order to be a disciple. And you know what? That comes before anything. But not everyone that's saved is willing to live like Jesus said you have to live if you want to be a disciple. Now, this isn't talking about preachers. This is talking about people that want to be used of God, that want to graduate from just being saved to, hey, I want to follow Christ. I want Christ to be my hero, my example, my leader. I want to seek Christ-likeness. I want to try to emulate Him in all areas of my life. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible says this. Jesus said, you want to follow Me? You want to come after Me? First of all, you've got to deny yourself. Number two, you got to take up your cross. And number three, you got to follow Me. Now, you're raising your children. These are three things that are absolutely essential. And all of these go against our carnal, fallen nature. All of these goes against our natural man. Nobody wants to deny themselves. Listen, you don't have to teach a kid to be selfish. I mean, we're all selfish. We were born selfish. We'll fight it. Most of our lives, we'll fight it. If you want to be a disciple, you young people, listen, you have to learn to say no to yourself. What does it mean to deny yourself? Well, it's fine that mom and dad say, nope, 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 nope. But wait a minute. You know when you start becoming an adult? Not when you turn 18. Not when you turn 21. When you can start looking at yourself and saying, no, 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 no. And mom and dad don't have to say it anymore. And you know there's things you shouldn't do. And you know what you tell yourself? You tell your flesh, no. There's places you shouldn't go. And you know what you tell your flesh? No. There's things you shouldn't look at. You know what you tell yourself? No. It's called denying yourself. Now, compare that to the sin that's overrunning our country. I had a discussion the other day with a preacher, and he was telling me, he said, Brother Ross, is it just me? Am I the only one? He said, I'm about to pull my hair out. He said, it seems like the sin that I am battling in the ministry that God's given me oversight more than any other sin is the sin of selfishness. And I said, well, brother, that was predicted by the Word of God, that in the last days perilous times would come. Well, what would create these perilous times? For men shall be lovers of their own self. And you know what? You know, I don't want to get up. My body wants to sleep. I want to sleep. I don't want to go to church. You know, I don't want to have to rearrange my life to serve God. I just want to do what I want to do. If it feels good, do it. If it smells good, grab it. If it tastes good, eat it. You know, just whatever my flesh wants, you know, I just follow my flesh. And that more and more, watch it. We know that this is going to be the sins of the last days, you know, in the world. But folks, this is the sins of the last days creeping into the church. And I have to fight it like you have to fight it. You know, I have to give myself some pep talks sometimes. I want you young people to hear what I'm going to say next. Most of the things that I do that are right to do, I have to make myself do it. I don't always want to do it. Now, not everything. There's a lot of the aspects of the Christian life that honestly I enjoy and I look forward to and I'm excited to. But this whole idea that if you don't want to do something, you shouldn't have to, is just ruining the country. It's ruining the nation. We're talking about self-denial. We're talking about taking up your cross. And a cross is a heavy thing. Cross is a hard thing. Cross is a difficult thing. And you know what? Here we go. We've got a generation of selfish people. We've got a generation of people that don't want to do anything hard. They don't want to do anything hard. And it just seems like, okay, I want to serve the Lord, but let me take a look at the church. Let me see where the easiest jobs are. And then I'll try to hook onto one of those easy jobs. And that way, when someone asks me, well, what do you do? I can tell them, well, I serve the Lord. You know, I've stopped. I'm going to tell you, say this, and say this, Brother Young, Brother James Young. I'm stopping young men on a regular basis that when I'm preaching out in these youth things, I'm talking about juniors and seniors and college-age students, and I'm saying, stopping them saying, what is it that God's preparing you to do? What is it that God wants for your life? What is it that God's call upon your life? And if I get, listen, if I get one more independent, fundamental young man to look at me and say, well, I think that God wants me to be a graphic designer. I think if I get one more of those guys, you're going to know it because I'm going to be in jail. I'm going to be calling and y'all are going to have to go bail me out of jail. You know what? You know what the world needs? You know what's going to turn America? You know, one more young man in an independent fundamental Baptist church that's given his life to graphic designing, you know, that's what we need in America. That's the key to serving. You know what he's saying? Well, you know, every once in a while I can design something for my church and that'll be my out as far as how I serve the Lord. And I can just sit in my come up front of my computer and click, click, click and have fun and go, oh, look at that. Who made that? Oh, I did. Oh, wow, that's going to save America. Thank you. So, now, do we need graphic designers? Yeah, and girls can do that. Girls are really probably better at that. Or occasionally there's a guy that can do it. Brother Young, he designed his stuff. But if you ask him what he's doing for the Lord, he doesn't say, I'm a graphic designer. He says, I'm a preacher of the gospel. And I can also throw together a pretty good looking flyer, man, you know. I don't know what it is. I'm thinking to myself, this is it? But I kind of get a sense that I'm hearing that so much is that we've got a generation coming up saying, well, I want to be able to have a part in the church, but I want to do something that is fun. I want to do something that's easy. And I want to do something that everybody goes, ooh, over. Okay, Mr. Graphic Designer, if you're listening online, do you go soul winning? Do you have a bus route? Come on, what difference are you making for the Lord Jesus Christ? Ever taken a mission trip? Are you open to God's call on your life? And what I'm saying is, you know what, folks? We need a generation of young men that'll go to an altar and say, God, call me to do the hard thing. Call me to do the hard thing. Call me to do the difficult thing. Call me to go to the tough place. That's what we need. And I know God's not going to call everybody to do those things, but boy, you know what? He had to have a bunch of young men offering to do that. Hey, you want to be my disciple? You know what? Then say no to yourself. You know what? Lay aside your stinking selfishness and get rid of your laziness and your excuses and pick up something heavy and carry it. Amen. And then we get to this last one. This idea of fellowship, because then it says, and follow me, to wholly follow Christ. Deny self, embrace the difficult, wholly follow Christ. And I know I went off on that a little bit, but folks, listen to me. These three things, if we don't have these three character traits, I mean embedded into the hearts of our young people. You that have little children, this is not an 18 goal. This is a 12 goal. Okay, you know, stop raising whiny babies. All right, stop raising kids that, you know what, if they don't get their way and if they're not got the spotlight on them all the time and they're not noticed all the time and, you know, come on. All right, deny yourself, die to self, die to self, die to self, die to self, die to self. Okay, if you can learn to die to self and you can learn to say, Lord, you give me the hard things and I'll do the hard things. Whatever it is, I'll carry the hard thing. I'll carry the heavy cross. I'll do whatever it takes. And then you say, Lord, you know what? I don't want in my heart even a little bit of rebellion. I'm going to follow you. I don't need to lead. I just follow. I'll just follow, Lord. I'll just be willing to follow. You know, we've glorified this thing about rebellion. I mean it. We've glorified rebellion. You know, somebody makes a decision out of a rebellious heart, and we admire that person. As if, boy, I'll tell you what, when they make up their mind, they just make up their mind. Well, you can make up your mind to do the wrong thing. You can make up your mind to do the rebellious thing. You can make up your mind to backslide. It doesn't make you a hero. Okay? Just fellowship. Now, young people, listen to me. You know where that starts? That starts in the home. It starts in the home, very simply. You know, if you can grow up with a tender heart, and when mom and dad ask you to do something, you just say, yes, ma'am, or yes, sir, and you jump up and you do it with the right spirit, and you just maintain that as you're growing up, and you do that, then you know what? You say, you mean kids are like, yeah, there's kids that are like that. They learn it, and you know what? If they don't do it, they get a good hard spanking, and then they don't do it a second time, they get a good hard spanking. They don't do it a third time, they get it a good hard spanking, and you know, I mean, you know, sometimes it takes a while for what's happening back here to get up to here, you know. But about the sixth or seventh time, they kind of think, you know what, I'm not sure this is the right path I want to take. This is not worth it. I think when mom and dad ask me to do something, I'm just going to jump up and smile and say, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, and do it. And then, you know what, you have an obedient kid. No, they don't need Ritalin. They need a spanking. They don't need narcotics. They need a good spanking. Yeah, spanking. Yeah. I mean, a proper biblical spanking is not child abuse. God created a certain part of every one of our anatomy, some extra padding there. And if you slap it good and hard, it causes an amazing amount of pain, but it doesn't break anything. And you know what? It helps them to rearrange their thinking, their priorities, and their attitude. And by the way, that's King James Holy Bible. Well, that's not how society is today. You know what? I don't gauge what I do based on what society thinks right or wrong. Let's get back to the King James Holy Bible. Okay? I mean, a child left to himself causes his mother shame. Rod and reproof. Come on. Rebellion's bound in the heart of a child, the Bible says. But the rod of reproof will drive it far from them. And all of these little shenanigans and all these little help books, child rearing books that y'all are, and all these little websites you go to where you're, you know, you are trying to manipulate your child. Come on, you're negotiating with the terrorist. You know, they're throwing a fit in the middle of Walmart, and here's this mother. I've seen it down on her knees in front of them saying, just, I understand you're upset, and I'm upset that you're upset. Tell me how you feel. How do you feel right now? I thought, give me 5 minutes with that kid. I'll tell you how he's going to feel, you know. We better wake up. Listen, all right, here it is. You tell me if you don't agree with me, then you know what? I'll tell you what the Bible says and then don't agree with the Bible. Foolishness is what? Bound in the heart of a child. And the rod of correction will drive it far from them. Okay, are you got that? So, if we're not spanking our kids, where's that foolishness still bound at? You know, I want to say this, all right? Get ready to throw something at me. You know what foolishness is? Foolishness is reading exactly what the Bible says and then refusing to want to do it. That's a Bible thing. So, if you're having trouble with this as an adult, you didn't get spanked enough as a kid. Because maybe the foolishness is still bound in your heart. It's time we just let God be God and the Bible be true. You know, Oprah Winfrey just about ruined a generation. People are sitting there watching Dr. Phil trying to figure out how to raise kids. Help us. Dr. Spock, most of you don't even know who he is. You think he was on Star Trek, but Dr. Spock wrote a child-rearing book back in the 1950s, and a whole generation got that book and read it, and you know what we ended up with? A bunch of hippies and derelicts and dope smokers and long-haired freaks in the 1960s. You know why? Because they decided to follow Dr. Spock's book instead of God's book when it comes to rearing children. Now, what I'm saying is this. You know what? We want an army coming up that's going to turn this country back to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we better get back to the Bible way of raising young people, okay? And that means self-denial, okay? That means saying no to yourself and also them accepting no from you. And it means embracing the difficult. You got to give your kids hard things to have to do, difficult things to have to do. I want to teach you about something right now because, wow, this is so important what I'm going to say next. We may not get as far as I thought, but this is worth our time. You know why you need to have your children do really, really difficult things, really, really hard things, real things that I mean will push them to their full capacity. And by the way, you have to judge them according to their age and what that would be. Come on, parents, right? Let's use sense. What it may be very difficult for a 5-year-old would not be that difficult for a 7-year-old or a 9-year-old. But I mean something that really tests them. Let me tell you why that's important. Because when you're in the middle of something, come on, think about this, you adult men. When you were a young man growing up and you were given a task to do, and I mean, it was tough, it was hard, it was hot, it was nasty, it was nothing inside of you wanted to finish it. And your mind starts, come on, as a young man, your mind starts working. Okay, how in the world how do I get out of this? Do I fake an injury? You know, I mean, you know what? Here's the thing. Watch this. Boy, I meditated on this today, and I'm gonna try to get it out of my brain to you. I watch people nowadays, and I watch where their I give up point is, where their I shut down point is, where their I quit place is. And for some people, it's about here. I mean it. For a lot of people, it's about here. I mean, if things get a little stressful or a little hard or they just get a little overwhelmed, then they just think they can have a meltdown, shut down, quit, and then somebody else will come clean the mess up for them and finish the job. You know why they think that? Because they were allowed to get by with it when they were little. Now, that didn't work in Bob and Donna Ross's house. I'm just telling you. You know, I tell the story about it. You know, man in our neighborhood, we lived over where Dave Liffick lives now. We lived in that home, and there was a guy over in the neighborhood. And, you know, I don't know how old I was. Would have been at that point in time when I was there, probably junior high age, I'm assuming. Yeah, 7th grade. And there was a guy that was over there that was a farmer and needed help putting up hay. You know, the farmers can't even find young men to put up hay anymore. You know, you say, well, everybody's going to these round bales. Well, there are advantages to going to it, but let me tell you the number one reason they're going to it. They can't. They can't find anybody to go out there and work. You know? But I remember he stopped by the house to talk to Dad, and he said, and I seen you had some boys. I drive by, and I could use some help. And he said, absolutely. Where do you want them and when? And you know what? Dad dropped us off. He said, when you'll be done? He said, well, I'll just drop by the house when we're done. You know what that meant? When I heard that, it's going to be a long day. I didn't even hear about a quitting time. You know why? When you're putting up pay, there ain't no quitting time. You know when quitting time is? When you can't see to do it anymore. Okay, now, good thing is you can't start 6 in the morning because the dew hadn't burned off everything yet. So, you know, but still, you know, by 8:30, 9 o'clock, hot day, we're out there, man. And you know what? We go, this is summer days, gentlemen. This is July. And this isn't spring and fall. This is July. And you know what we did? We went out there and we put up hay. And he said, now there's some water over there. He said, my wife will be bringing lunch about lunchtime. You know, listen, a little seventh grade skinny, scrawny kid. You know, you're picking up those bells. It's all you can do to get them up on top of the wagon. And you know what? You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't having a good time. There was me and Bob, and there was a couple other boys in the neighborhood. One of the boys stopped about halfway through the morning. He decided he wasn't doing it anymore. And he just started taking off, walking across the field, go home. And that farmer saw him. He put the brakes on and chased him down, got him by the back of the neck and dragged him back, kicking him in the rear end and saying, I don't know where you think you're going. Your daddy said, you're mine today, so you're going to stay here and finish this. See, we used to raise something in America. They were called men. 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 That kid was bawling and squalling, but you know what he did the rest of the day? He threw bells right alongside me. And by the way, you know what? You smite the scorner and the simple, beware. I mean, whatever thought I had about going across the field, that just went out the door, man. I was trying to figure my escape plan, too. He just thought a little quicker than me, you know, so. And you know what? Come on. I thought I was going to die. And look at this. I didn't. I mean it. I thought I was going to die. I honestly a few times thought, I can't pick up another one. You know what I did? I picked up another one. Listen, where is those opportunities for our kids? Where are we putting our children in those type of situations? You know what I learned as a seventh grade boy? You can go a lot farther past your breaking point than you think. You can push yourself harder than you think. You can last longer than you think. And you know what else I found out at the end of the day? That as we were finishing up, and as he reached his billfold and was handing out the money, and shaking our hands and looking us in the eye, I knew what it was to be in the company of a man and to be looked on as a man. Now I'm going to need you tomorrow, and down deep in my heart, everything I wanted to say was... I said, I'll be here. Now look right up here. Listen, I'm not perfect at anything. Okay, I'm not perfect at anything. But you know what? Every morning since then, you know what? I just looked up to the Lord and said, I'll be here. Now, I'm just watching a generation just, you know, I'm sorry, but where you have a mental breakdown is ridiculous. Where you're overwhelmed is ridiculous. You need to listen to it. You come to me with all your excuses, and I'll sit there and politely look at you and smile and go, okay, 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 okay. Whatever you need. You say, well, there's some legitimate things. Okay, all right. I do know there's some legitimate things. Everybody's got them, apparently. I don't remember the line at the elementary school, Bee Ridge Elementary School, where the kid got in line at the cafeteria that was lactose intolerant. I don't remember that line. You remember that line, Lori? You know why? Because we're spending too much time on hypochondriac websites. Now, some of you are going to get mad, just get mad and get over it. But I'm trying to raise a generation of future disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've got elementary kids already got it in their head. They got an excuse the rest of their life of why they can't do certain things. And we've got to stop it. We're empowering a victim's mentality in our young people. Now, I know this doesn't make me popular, but I'm telling you, I'm trying to raise a generation that's going to go to the mission field, and I can't get them to volunteer around here for one night of babysitting. I mean, what are we going to do down the road? Where are we going with this thing? Okay. You know, I went to Bible college. I had to work a full-time job to get through Bible college. I didn't do it for, it was hard. I didn't do it for a semester and quit. You know, I had to go to work. I wasn't calling in sick. I had to go to work. Why? Because I needed the money. I had to pay my bill. I've loaded semi-trucks at UPS halfway through the night, jumped down between two trucks, puked my guts out, jumped back in, and finished the night. And listen, y'all may think, well, he's bragging. No, this is what every man did in my grandpa's generation. This is what every man did in my dad's generation. This wasn't considered some big deal. You know, me and Dennis Scales went to Dinky's the other night. Man, we had a good time. Got to spend some of Sister Bonnie's money on Tonka trucks. And no, we didn't buy trucks. We did not buy Tonka trucks, did we? But and you know what? Listen to me. That man as a boy had polio. You watch him around here. He could have had a free ride. Am I right, Brother Jack? That man could have had a free ride. The government would have given him a check. He could have had a free ride his whole life. And you know what he said? I'm going to work. And he would have been qualified for disability. And you know what he said? I'll find a job I can do. And you know what he did for all of these years? Found a job he could do. And every once in a while I get these healthy young men and say, I just can't. Go tell Dennis Scales. Don't tell me. Go look him in the face. Tell him. Now, what are you doing? Man, I feel like, folks, we have, in the armed forces, and our armed forces, we're going to get overrun by some superpower. Because the liberals are gutting our armed forces. I mean, we got transgender generals. You know, all of a sudden this law, and it was a law against having sodomites in armed forces and should still be a law. I mean, one of these young men come to me now, I'm telling you, and wants to join the armed forces. And by the way, we honor veterans in this church. We teach our young men to respect veterans in this church. But to think that they may show up at boot camp and their drill sergeant is a sodomite, and there's a possibility of that now. Okay? And now they're handed out to our soldier and our little soldierettes. Stress cards. When you go to boot camp, you had one of these, Brother Steve. Didn't they give you a stress card when you were in boot camp? You don't remember that? No. If the drill sergeant was yelling at you and you've just felt a little intimidated or overwhelmed, you didn't have a little card in your pocket you could pull out and hold up, and then he had to back off and... Brother Steve saw some things in his day that happened in boot camp that probably needs to happen again today. Probably needs to happen again today. Well, you know, some of you ladies, oh my goodness. Well, that's why they don't let soldiers bring their mommies to boot camp. You're not allowed to bring your mommy. You know why? So we can turn them into men. I'm just trying to get you a picture, okay? Can you imagine the God of the universe, and here it is, the last of the last days, and he sought for a man among them. He's looking. Where's the last group of young men that I'm going to call to rise up against this tsunami of evil and stand there and preach and not bend and not compromise right up to when the trumpet sounds, no matter what, even if it means their life? Where am I going to find them? Well, he's not going to find them if they got a stress card in their pocket. Not going to find them if they're, you know, can't get up and ride the bus. Come on, bus captain. Can't get up on Sunday mornings because they spend all night Saturday night playing video games. Come on. You know, all right, I've said enough, but let's get back to this. Parents, you have to on purpose. And moms, you need to kind of get out of the way and let daddy handle this, especially with the boys. Dad, you need to on purpose put your sons in situations where they have to learn that they can push past what they think they can do. Okay? Because if they are always allowed to use excuses and get out of doing hard things, they're not going to be qualified. Okay? As a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to toughen up our young men. We need to toughen up our young men. Okay, you know why? Because we're talking about how to raise a generation to serve the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us. Please help us. Lord, it seems like to me, Lord, the devil's, He's recruiting. He's finding people to join his army left and right. We've got young people in our Baptist churches going AWOL left and right. Pray, Lord, that you'll help us. We understand. We know the Bible. We've studied it. We've read it. I understand that some things are going to happen in the last days. But it doesn't mean that we all have to give in to that. And Lord, in every generation, no matter how bad it got, there was always a remnant. And Lord, I just pray, dear God, that in the heart of every single person here, we would want to be part of that remnant, that group that's standing, that group that's willing to do the hard things, willing to sacrifice, willing to say no to the flesh, willing to follow Jesus Christ, no matter what that means, no matter where we have to go, what we have to do, we're just faithful, faithful, faithful to the end. So Lord, I pray that you stir this. Help us as we incorporate these important character traits in the hearts of our young people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.